Mini episode 770 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 770. It's your favorite football talkers anywhere in the universe, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, coming at you. Both of us located in what can only be called the City of Champions right about now, Cleveland, Ohio. You can add to the NBA Championship, the UFC World Heavyweight Championship, the Calder Cup, now the American League Championship with the Cleveland Indians. So go Tribe is all we can say. There is one other unfortunate Cleveland team we'll be talking about later in the program. We'll get to them on our slate of 15 games here for this week. Last week I was 6-7-2. I am 43-45-4 for the year. Numbers are kind of fugly from there. 1-2 on my big three, 5-13 for the year. 0-1 on my lock pick, 0-6 for the year. I am just going balls out on my lock pick this week here, something I would normally never do, total desperation. Kyle last week with a 4-3 week, a very good week there, and 17-18 for a year, trending upwards, profitability within reach, and this is the week you get there, my man.
I hope so. This run of mediocrity has been kind of annoying here. It's very frustrating. Too many plays. I think you've influenced me positively, or negatively, I should say. Too many plays. I always feel the pressure. I don't want to be one of these lazy part-timers, as some would say, who just come on this program and like every third game and said, yeah, I like this one. I'm trying to do a little bit more this year than that. So we shall see. I'm going to six again. I six plays this week, which I guess one less than last week. But, you know, all we need to do is go 4-2, and I'm back over the Mendoza line. It's, you know, it's like love, they say, Ricky. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
That is true. That is true. And I love how lazy part-timers, you're channeling Daniel Bryan from our friends Talking Smack show, which I'm going to pop for any time we get a reference like that in there. I assume that's where that was cribbed from directly, was Daniel Bryan this week with his shot that he took at Goldberg. But,
I don't know.
So we got that going on, and again, a full slate of games here this week, including another overseas game. Dallas and Carolina are on the bye. We start, as always, with the Thursday game, which, as always, we'll kind of gloss over a little bit since this show is going up right around game time. The 1-5 Bears at the 3-2 Packers, 8:25 Eastern Time, Lambeau Field in Green Bay on CBS. And the NFL Network, Nance Sims Wolfson and Jay Feely, for some reason, is also on the call for this game. This is a game where Green Bay, this has kind of fluctuated a bit through the week. They opened up as 9-point favorites, then it went to 8.5, now 7.5. This is one where the Thursday games thus far this year have fit a pretty definable pattern, with the exception of last week. Really good team, or markedly better team against a garbage team. So thus far, the really good team has gone in and cleaned up. With the exception of last week, we both thought Denver was ripe to get punched by San Diego in that game. I don't see this as one of those type of scenarios. I'm going to default to what we've been seeing the rest of the year. I see this as a scenario where the clearly superior Packers get it going a little bit, get on track a little bit against a pretty helpless Bears team that I'm ashamed to say at the beginning of the year I thought could have been a wild card team. Packers to cover for me.
The trend you're kind of alluding to and speaking of, whatever, here is kind of really held true throughout the history of these Thursday night games, particularly when the better team is at home. So mm-hmm. I see where you're going there. I will say that San Diego's not a garbage team. San Diego's an unlucky team that finally – they certainly tried at the end of the game to give that one away again, but alas, they did not. They held on. That was a nice win for me, one of my seven recommendations. I see what you're saying here. This is not a recommended play for me, but one thing that's – really odd with the Bears. They're 31st in points per game. I think they're ahead of only the Jets right now.
Okay.
But they're actually top 7 in yards per game. So
weird.
That kind of discrepancy shows, you know, they're moving the ball they're just not getting it in the end zone. Typically, not always, but typically that will signify, you know, an uptick in scoring is on the horizon. Green Bay doesn't look right, man. I don't think Green Bay is the kind of juggernaut they used to be. A really disappointing performance last week at home against Dallas. I think there's going to be more points than expected in this game. And I think Chicago will probably actually score enough to stay within the number, but I'm not confident enough to give it out as a recommendation.
I kind of see where you're going with that. We go to the Sunday games, and we start with yet another garbage game in London. We're determined to get the Limeys to hate us no matter what, I guess, just by giving them the pile of crap we keep giving them every year. It's the 3-3 Giants.
It's working.
Versus the 3-3 Rams. I believe the Rams are the home team in this one here. 9:30 a.m. Eastern time from Twickenham Stadium in London on the NFL Network. Kevin Harlan, Dan Fouts, Stacey Dales on the call, and this is one where the Giants are laying 2.5 points. It's been kind of steady throughout the course of the week. Interesting note here from USA Today Sports Weekly, and I quote, "The NFL's two biggest markets will head across the Atlantic to renew a 78-year-old rivalry that has already been played at 6 different venues." So this becomes number 7 on a second continent, no less. Go back and forth looking at this. The Rams are a hard team to get your arms around as far as what they're doing. They're very annoying in that regard. That's one of the things that's kind of carried over from St. Louis. Jeff Fisher teams are annoying in not doing what they're supposed to do according to the computers at any given point in time here. And I'm going to go with what worked for me last week, which when they played the Lions, which was at the end of the day, default to the quarterback. It was Case Keenum against Matthew Stafford, and you saw how that played out. Keenum versus Eli Manning. I have a lot easier time seeing the Giants at 4-3 than I do the Rams. Give me the Giants.
Yeah, I don't. That macro stuff can get you in trouble here. That being said, you know, the Giants were a team I picked to make the playoffs. The Rams were a team I picked not to be very good this year. So, in the macro sense, I guess I do agree with you, but nah, I'm gonna run from it, not play this game. I think in the entire history of this program, I've never given out a recommendation on a London game. It's just really tough to handicap how, you know, these teams are going to react to it. Don't like the idea of the Giants laying this many points. It's up to, you know, 2.5. If you do like the Giants, certainly hop on it quickly at 2.5 because some places are already up to 3. So you want to shop around for the best number. But I don't know. I just don't like this game at all. So I'm not playing it.
One thing I would also say, too, Curtis.
The Rams have been good since that first week. The Rams have been good since that first week when they got blown out by the 49ers. And by good, I mean, you know, they really haven't played a terrible game since then.
Well, not nearly as bad as they look there, to be sure. With the London games, this is something that's kind of interesting. You might just kind of look at this and say, oh, well, you know, the Giants are traveling much further. They're going all the way around the world. But according to USA Today Sports Weekly, there has not been a clear, discernible difference with West Coast teams having a lack of success in the London games here. So that's not necessarily something that should come into play, even though they're traveling a lot further than the Giants. So that's kind of surprising, okay, but I guess that's held up over a period of time. Now we go to the games in the continental United States on Sunday. We start with the 2-3 Saints at the 3-2 Chiefs, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City on Fox. 5-time lounge guest Kenny Albert along with John Lynch and the delicious Pam Oliver on this game. Kansas City is laying 6 points. It opened at 7, then went to 6.5, so it's been kind of toggling in that area there. It's landing at 6. A tough call as I'm looking at this here. I was really cursing the odds makers because the outcome of the game seems pretty clear to me. But as far as the point spread issue, I really kind of went back and forth on this one here. But I said last week, and I proved to be correct, I thought that the Chiefs were due for kind of a pickup in their schedule here. I foresaw them getting it going against Oakland. And I think they're going to keep the momentum going as they head into a winnable part of the schedule here. The Saints, conversely, I know I was wrong on that game, but I think just clearly played above their heads in that game. I think, again, with their offensive line issues, they're really going to struggle at Arrowhead in an unfriendly circumstance here. Their only recourse is to try to make every game 40-37. It may be relatively high scoring, but probably not high scoring enough for them. I will take Kansas City laying the 6.
Yeah, you know, I warned you about going to get, you know, laying the small number with Carolina on the road last week against
New
Orleans.
Illuminati special, I'm telling you. Yeah, Carolina's had that going the whole year.
I think that it's a case of the Panthers' defense is really bad, and it turns out that the ceiling that we the floor that we established for them turns out it's a lot lower than we thought at the beginning of the season. Saints outdoors never really worth your money, in my opinion. They're off back-to-back upsets. They beat San Diego, if you remember, before the bye. That was a kind of real fluky one. I thought I was even luckier than Carolina, because at least against Carolina, they jumped out to a 21-0 lead. The San Diego game, if you remember, they needed two fumbles late to pull out a one-point victory. The defense is really awful for the Saints. They've given up 34 or more points in four of their five games. The Chiefs' defense getting a little bit healthier. I agree with you that the Chiefs are certainly entering the more friendly part of their schedule. They've got Indy and Jacksonville after this, a home game against Tampa looming next month as well. So I'm not going to lay the points, but, yeah, Kansas City's going to win here.
Yeah, I think we both agree on that one clearly. Up next, what has been one of the most one-sided, I won't say rivalries in NFL history, because they don't really play each other enough. They haven't had enough high-profile games for that to be the case, but a series of games in the history of the league. It's the 4-2 Redskins at the 3-3 Lions, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Ford Field in Detroit on Fox. Justin Kutcher, Charles Davis, Chris Spielman, and Peter Schrager on the call here in a series that Washington has pretty much historically dominated with the Lions. This is a game where Detroit at home laying a point. It briefly went to a pick 'em. Now it's back to -1 for the Lions. So if I'm either Mark Lawrence or Mark Lawrence, I might look at this and say, well, you know, the history dictates that I go on the Redskins, but I'm looking at it right now. We've talked about this with teams previously as far as being stocks to buy or sell on, and this is a very good time, I think, to sell on the Redskins. Not as good as their record. I think it's pretty clear. I mean, they're not as putrid as they started the season here, but the Redskins, to me, are definitely kind of a bubble. And Detroit's a team where I've been pretty accurate as far as my impulse on them through the course of the season. And I have a feeling here that, again, you look at how hot Stafford is really getting to be. I just think the Lions overall are right now in a little bit of a better place than the Redskins. And it's not necessarily that I'm putting over the Lions by saying that, but just that I think the Redskins are overvalued at this point. I'll take Detroit laying the single point at home.
Yeah, I want to play against the Washington football team as well, but I don't know if Detroit's the team to do it with. They've been outgained in both of their recent wins, which were against the Eagles and Rams here at home. They're trying to complete a 3-0 homestand here, are the Lions. They don't run the ball very much at all. I know you always like to point that out. I'll do it here. They've been at 83 yards or less the last four games.
Right.
I don't think they're going to do it here. I think this is just going to kind of be an ugly, low-scoring game. When you talk about the history, Detroit has kind of reversed it recently. I'm looking at it. They're 3-0 straight up and against the number against Washington since 2009. Now, the last meeting was 2013,
okay,
so there's not a ton in there. But this is a pass for me. These are two teams that I think both have kind of been playing above their heads in recent weeks. You talk about Washington, they opened the year 0-2, losses at home to Pittsburgh and Dallas. All of a sudden, they've won four in a row, and you talk about the scheduling open up. After this game, they're against Cincinnati, which is, I believe, a London game as well. And then they're at home, Minnesota and Green Bay. Now, they could be home dogs there, but they are at home. So, you know, in a wide-open NFC East, expect Washington to kind of stick with it here, at least into November.
Well, that's good to know from what you mentioned there. So I'm actually going with the recent history here in picking Detroit, even if the overall history of the series is way against them. Fun fact also, the Washington football team is the Washington Redskins. We go next to the 0-6 Cleveland Browns at the 2-4 Cincinnati Bengals, 1 o'clock Eastern Time from Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati on CBS. Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, and Steve Verline have been sentenced by CBS to bear witness to this contest. The Bengals started by laying 10.5 points down to 9.5 points and subsequently back to 10 that they are laying. I made reference at the beginning of the show to Cleveland, the city of champions right now. Now we come to the genital wart on our fair city. A team on pace to go 0-16 in this NFL season. Continue to think that probably won't be the case in the end. Odds are they're going to steal one. Odds are this won't be it, however. And it's a game where you talk about get-well games, a chance for teams to kind of, you know, turn it on, get going. The Bengals, better than the 2-4 that they've looked like to this point in the year. They have some issues. that, again, I think they just need the right scrimmage opponent to be able to play through. And lo and behold, here come the Browns this week. I've talked about this before, though, as far as that team that does the annoying penis punch backdoor covers over the last couple of years. Because let's face it, right, that accounts for most of the covers that the Browns get, as opposed to actually outright winning ball games. This just feels like another one like that. Who knows the Bengals better than Hugh Jackson, and he is going to be scheming and trying to take advantage of things here. Understand that he may not be able to count on Terrell Pryor for this one, but even without that, Hugh Jackson's had enough in his bag of tricks this year. They're going to slip just inside the number, just enough to piss you off if you're taking the Bengals. I would say I would take the Browns to cover.
I think you hit on most of the key points here. This does shape up as a quote-unquote get-well game for Cincinnati. But I would advise about going too much on the, well, they're definitely better than their record. This team's 27th in point differential right now, Cincinnati. That's not good at all.
Couple blowouts,
Yeah, I mean, they played a tough schedule. I mean, they played Pittsburgh, Denver, Dallas, New England. I mean, it's certainly been a challenging schedule, and, you know, with this game in Washington coming up, Washington, again, like I just mentioned, I think it's the London game, they can be right back at 500 here by the end of the month. That said, I would never lay this many points, if I can remember how to speak English. You know that. Browns are a team I've been willing to take on occasion this year. Last week was one of them. They slipped into the back door. They shouldn't have had to. If Hugh Jackson would have just kicked the damn extra point after that first touchdown, they would have been covering and would have had to score late again. But I digress. I'm just passing on this game because, you know, if you're doing an eliminator pool this week, Cincinnati's got to be the play, right? Because you're probably not going to use them any other time. You certainly haven't used them yet this year. And I can absolutely see this being a blowout, but as you know, I would never lay this many points.
Well, and you've talked about that many points in divisional games, albeit the Browns are on the road, but you've talked about that previously as far as affecting your willingness to go on a game. Up next, it is the 4-2 Bills at the 2-4 Dolphins, 1 o'clock Eastern time from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida on CBS. Tom McCarthy, Adam Archuleta, Chris Fisher on the call. Buffalo laying 3 points in this game, up from 2 points initially. And this is one where, again, one of the bigger shockers of the year last week, J.I. Aji getting untracked against Pittsburgh. That's a guy to me that was kind of looking a lot like, I like to invoke this, the saying about Brazil, it's the country of the future and it always will be. Well, we've been hearing about the J.I. Aji underrated sleeper hype for like a year and a half now, and he was starting to look like Brazil in my book until he finally broke out. But again, the true unpredictable nature of the league at various points in time. This is tough because I have a fair amount of contempt for the Bills. I think they're an even bigger bubble at 4-2 than maybe even the Redskins, if that's possible.
Oh, I would disagree with that.
I think they're a fraud. I'm gonna plant my flag on that, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this a lot the rest of the season. I think they're a fraud. I just can't see the Dolphins at 3-4, though, and that's going to be the macro determination in this game. However reluctantly, I will pick Buffalo to be the biggest fraud 5-2 team in the history of the league and to cover this game with the 3 points.
I would advise against calling Buffalo fraud. They have the best point differential in the league right now. Now,
a lot of that, again, function of schedule to a certain
true.
Extent.
Now, I don't think they're going to be able to keep it up either. I think they're going to come back to the pack. You know,
right.
There is a bit of a bubble that's going to burst. I believe after this game, they play New England, Seattle, and somebody else that's really good. So we could see them back at 5-5 real quick. I admit, they're not the best. You know, point differential is always a better indicator of future results than one actual one-loss record, at least in my opinion it is. But the Bills are not the best team in the league. But, you know, Miami, hey, they treated me to a nice outright win last week against Pittsburgh. You know, I took the points, didn't really think they'd be as dominant as they were. I don't want to take a team off a shocking win like that, you know, again the next week. So I told you I have 6 recommend plays. They must be the last 6 games here or something because I've yet to give one out. I'm passing here because I'm not taking the road favorite.
Buffalo 20 minutes
swept
into the
Miami,
hour,
by the way,
and,
last year.
Yeah, 20 minutes in and
Buffalo.
No picks yet. They're probably going to come in a flurry, I'm sure. Yeah. Up next, two teams that I picked to be the sleeper wild card teams in the AFC. Kyle Ross called me a hipster at the beginning of the year. It's the 4-2 Raiders at the 2-3 Jaguars. 1 o'clock Eastern time from Everbank Field in Jacksonville on CBS. Greg Dumble, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call. And in this game, Oakland is at this point getting 1 point here. Jacksonville laying 1.5 down to 1 point, so it's really kind of toggled in that general region there. Another game where I really just kind of struggled here as far as determination between the two teams, I am going back to two principles in the end. I think you'll agree more with the second principle than the first. I know sometimes you think that macro level things for the 16 games can be dangerous. But if I still believe the Jaguars have a chance, I got to plant my flag here. Oakland's looking like they're going to be in the race all the way regardless. The Jags need this one, and they need this one at home. Here's the one that you're going to agree with a little bit more. The Raiders have been defying the odds thus far in the 1 o'clock games that you've been talking about for a long time now, coming east. They're due for a 1 o'clock stinker. I think this is going to be it. I will take the Jaguars laying the 1.5 presently, or the 1 point.
Well, yeah, it seems like every show this happens, the dogs are barking here in the house. But I do not believe that the dog, as small as a dog as they may be, will be barking in this game. This is actually my first recommendation. I'm on Jacksonville here in what I deem the mediocrity ball. I'm not a big fan of either of these teams. The Raiders went against them last week when they hosted Kansas City. They got blown out. Both their losses have been blowouts. All four wins by 7 points or less. That includes two road wins by exactly 1 point. You mentioned, I love where your head's at, because this is kind of what I was aiming with against the Raiders here. They were 3-0 on the road. Every game close. I don't see this team being able to win a fourth game out east. And it probably does mean a little bit more to Jacksonville right about now. Sports Insights, which a website I really love, had a nice write-up that just kind of came up right before we went on the air that talked about the Raiders really receiving unprecedented levels of support from the public as an underdog. 83% of the spread bets in this game is on Oakland. That's ridiculous. I mean, the spread is basically irrelevant here, but for a team that's not laying points, the public loves favorites. For a team, getting points to be getting that much support, no thanks. I think this is a rare, undervalued favorite. And Jacksonville, who has the much better defense, will PCB on Sunday.
All right, I agree with that one. Up next, it's the Shite Division Bowl. It's the 2-4 Colts at the 3-3 Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Nissan Stadium in Nashville, on CBS, Spiro Dedus and Solomon Wilcox on the call. In this game, Tennessee is in the very, very rare position of being a favorite to Indianapolis. I haven't seen this too many times, even at home, or at least too many times when Andrew Luck is in there. I guess we should qualify. Tennessee laying 3 points. It has crept up steadily. Started at 1.5, went to 2.5. We are now up to 3. And, again, have really just kind of gone back and forth on this one here. But, again, you and I kind of part company on thinking that the Titans are further along than they really are. I don't have as much respect for the Titans as you do. And I think that, again, there are just games where I just kind of draw a line, and I feel like it's a real kind of test. Medium term for this season and long term, the Colts are swirling the drain, right? They're circling the drain. This is going to be it for their entire crappy regime, coaching, front office, whatever. But before they get to that point, this is a game with Andrew Luck, and you're starting to get and a lot of times, yeah, it's morons like Nick Wright from FS1 with the hot takes and whatever, but we're getting to a point where people are really starting to talk crap about Andrew Luck. And I just think this is going to be kind of a defining game for him. He's going to win the battle and lose the war as far as the season goes. But this is a game where I think we see what Andrew Luck is made of. I said this the second game of the year with Matt Ryan in Oakland, and I was damn right about that. I think I'm going to be right about this one also. I'll take the Colts.
Do you know the last time that Tennessee was favored against Indianapolis? It was week 8 of 2012. They lost that game outright, 19-13. Including that game, they have lost 9 straight times to Indianapolis. They have been a dog each of the last 7, and have covered only one of the last six. So series history certainly on Indianapolis' side. It's not so much that I respect Tennessee. I don't like their head coach at all. I think I say that I offer that caveat
yes.
every week when you try to paint me as a Titans fan. I just respect the numbers,
right.
and the numbers suggest that Tennessee is due, you know, just for a modicum of improvement. I mean, I don't think this is a playoff team, but I think they can get to 7 wins this year. Meanwhile, the numbers hate Indianapolis and what they've done. They've had unprecedented luck, no pun intended, in close games. I could see Tennessee eking out a close win here. But I didn't want to lay points with Tennessee last week. As a matter of fact, I went against them with Cleveland, got a win there. And I don't want to even lay a shorter number here. So I'm passing on this game. I almost went with Tennessee, but, you know, laying points with bad teams is usually a bad idea.
Yeah, I think you were wise to stay away from that. We've got the 2-4 Chargers at the 4-2 Falcons. 4:05 Eastern time from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta on Fox. Past lounge guest Sam Rosen, along with Daryl Moose Johnston and the lovely Tandalora Oakman on the call here. This is a game where Atlanta is laying 6 points. It had gone to 6.5 at one point during the week, back settling in at 6 here. And a game that really, from the looks of both offenses, could shape up to be a shootout. And I'm going to go with the conventional wisdom. I think that's what we're going to get. Again, when I talk about macro-level plays, that can mean different things. That means where you see the teams fitting in through the course of the season. It also means when you look at the slate of games here. And this is a week where, unlike last week, I'm heavier on favorite picks than I am with dogs, which is generally the case, but it was starting to be a dangerous kind of a tilt. So I'll be honest with you. There were a couple games here where if it was close enough, I just thought I'm going with the dog because just the law of averages here. That's kind of where I'm at. I think the Chargers can keep up enough to get that backdoor cover.
I love this game. I'm recommending it. Second one of the week, it's San Diego. Absolutely all the way. A very underrated team. Love the way the schedule sets up for the Lightning Bolts here. We talk about, I think we've mentioned this in the past, that teams coming off playing Seattle tend to struggle. They're kind of like the new Pittsburgh. For years, it was the Steelers. You
right.
Play the Steelers, and then you'd kind of struggle the next week. Well, Atlanta played Seattle last week. They played them a lot tougher than you or I thought they would. Kudos to them. But I think they're getting a little bit too much press this week. And San Diego, well-rested. You know, they played the Thursday game last week. So it's a big break, too, getting this game at 4 o'clock and not 1 o'clock,
yeah,
I think. So I would not be surprised if the Chargers win this game outright. I am not giving up on this team and their quest to win the AFC West. I am not. Recommendation.
Well,
the Chargers
being a team that have never been owned by Al Davis will not always get the 1 o'clock games from the league the way that the Raiders will when they go out east. No question about that. Up next, we've got a 4:05 game, but with an East Coast team. It's the 2-3 Bucks at the 1-5 49ers. 4:05 Eastern time from Levi Stadium in Santa Clara on Fox. Chris Myers, Rondé Barber, and Test Lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call. This is a game where Tampa Bay is laying a point. It started as a pick'em. It had gone to Bucks -2.5, but it's gone back to 1. Just generally speaking, I kind of look at this game, and I think the reason that the Bucks aren't a bigger favorite, even coming off a bye and coming off a impressive performance the game before that, is just that there's not a lot of respect for them yet out there. And I'm not saying that there necessarily should be. So this isn't the classic example of what I'd call a get-well game. But it's a game where you can kind of get some momentum going and really kind of make a statement about where you're going the rest of the year. I'd have to really, really, really be down on Tampa Bay to think they're not going to win this game and cover. And I'm not down on them. I'm not exactly up on them either. But I'd have to have Tampa Bay as like one of the 4 or 3 worst teams in the league, and I don't. I'm taking Tampa Bay to cover.
I don't really know how anyone could call this a get-well game for Tampa Bay. I mean, they're off a bye and then a win. Over Carolina.
No, I just mean in terms, that's why I said it's not a get-well game in that sense, but it's, you know what I mean. It's a game where you have a chance to get some momentum. They don't have a ton of momentum behind them, right? They're 2-3. They're in an iffy spot, but I just meant it's a chance to improve your standing in the world, so to speak.
Well, you know me. I don't know what momentum is. So I'm actually going to disagree. I'm going to disagree with you here, and I'm actually going to give out the 49ers as a recommendation.
Holy crap.
Tampa Bay,
wow.
Some sharp money, it looks like, showed up on the Niners this morning. I'm going to side with it. Tampa Bay, not a team that is accustomed to being favored often. When they are, things have not gone well. 2-7 straight up and against the number the last 9 times. That includes an outright loss at home to the Rams a few weeks ago. And here's the big one. This is the first time Tampa Bay has been favored on the road since week 1 of 2013. I think, you know, with Colin Real American Kaepernick back at the helm, San Francisco's just due to maybe get one win here. You know, they're going to win one here in the next 2 games. They've got this game, and then they host New Orleans in 2 weeks. I believe the Niners are off next week. So they're going to get one of these games. They're not going to win many, but they're going to win one of these next 2. And I just think this is a good value. I do think Tampa Bay is one of the worst teams in the league. In terms of point differential, you're looking at the Bucs being 29th, the 49ers 30th. I actually think this is a very rare instance where San Francisco should probably be favored. I'm taking them.
Wow, couldn't disagree more on that part, but we'll see. And I'll tell you what, Colin Kaepernick, here's hoping that for NFL Week 8, after what the Bucs do to him, he's not able to stand up even if he wants to. We can hope, right? So we go to the Sunday night game now. It's not the Sunday night game coming up next year. It's the late game on CBS, the late featured game. 5-1 Pats at the 4-2 Steelers. 4:25 Eastern Time. Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on CBS. Nat Sims Wolfson on the call. In a game without Roethlisberger in there, the number has skyrocketed. It's gone from New England -2. It went up to 8 at one point, settling in 7.5 points at showtime here. And this is one where, again, in looking at New England, when they've been really at full strength, you look at what they did to Cincinnati. And, again, I'm higher on Cincinnati than you are. I'm getting almost an Alabama-type vibe from the Patriots right now. You look at what Alabama is doing to some very good teams in the SEC thus far this season, and, you know, you wouldn't be looking at that, quite frankly, if the Steelers had Roethlisberger. But with Landry Jones in there, again, I understand you are probably going to tell me that the 7.5 is a trap. I don't think so. I just don't think Pittsburgh's going to be able to hang. New England at full strength, we've seen it a couple times this year, even without Brady in there, what they've been able to do when they get on a roll. I look for more of that here. I just don't think Pittsburgh can keep up. I'll take New England.
Don't have a lot of X's and O's for you here, but I'm just going to tell you, hold your nose and grab a point for Pittsburgh. I think agree, Bruno. Do you agree? Yes, you agree, Bruno. Okay, Bruno agrees as well. Take the points. The dogs are barking here live again. There you go. I got nothing here. I just think that it's an overreaction by the public. Every single person and their mother is going to be on New England in this game. And that's not how Las Vegas was built, Rick Morris.
I got nothing here. Truer words were never spoken, but we'll see how that plays out. We go now to the Sunday night game.
There, by the way. What are you doing? I'm going to have to put these dogs away, man. I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you in a box to Norfolk, Virginia, if you're not careful, pal.
I thought you meant that you were going to send them in a box to Louisville, Kentucky. Didn't we have that happening the last time the Spirit Squad was gracing our TV sets?
Norfolk was a far more evil reference, if you get it. Get outside, pal.
Yeah, a very good one as well. It's the Sunday Nighter here, the 4-1 Seahawks at the 3-3 Cardinals. 8:30 Eastern Time, University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, Tafoya on the call. Arizona is laying 2 points. It opened to 2, went to a pick'em, back to -2. This is a circumstance here where you've talked about this a fair amount in your handicapping time on the show here. You talk about better teams getting the points. Classic example of it here. I understand that the Seahawks are on the road, but these two teams, macro level, look like they're going in different directions right about now, and that the Cardinals are kind of struggling to kind of – again, I understand that they've won their last 2 games, but they haven't – you know, one of those, let's keep in mind – well, actually, you know, they beat the 49ers and the Jets, I guess. So I'm not really as impressed by that. When I talk about going in different directions at this point, I'm talking about macro level for the season. Have the Cardinals looked like Super Bowl contenders? A lot of people. Yeah, well, and you and I said at the beginning of the year they would fall off somewhat this year. They have fallen off. The Seahawks, they've had some issues, but they don't look like they have fallen off. So macro level, better team getting points, give me the Seahawks.
Yeah, macro level, I agree with you. Seattle's in good shape. Arizona, fringe playoff contender when all said and done. But I think it's a great value. I'm not a macro level guy. I think it's a great value in Arizona at home. There's no way this spread would have been this small a couple weeks ago. Seattle's still got problems in the secondary.
Right.
And are they really going to go in to Arizona for a fourth straight year and cover? I don't think so. One of those, that's kind of misleading, that streak, too. One of those years, I think that Arizona had the immortal Ryan Lindley, and then there was last year where Arizona just kind of tanked the game in the last week of the year. So I like the Cardinals in a night game to show up. I'm probably going to play against them, though, next week when they visit Carolina. That's really my hope. That's kind of another reason why I want Arizona to look real good here, so I can get some good value on Carolina, who probably a lot of people – of my ilk will be looking to take anyway coming off a bye.
Cardinals. You're known for taking ugly dogs on this show, rarely for taking ugly favorites, but I guess there's a first time for everything.
I mean, they've looked – I don't know. I mean, they're both – I don't think they've looked as bad as you're making them out to be. I mean, they looked pretty dominant on Monday night. Granted, it was against a crummy team, but, you know, they've got a better scoring differential than Seattle, despite the record.
Well, you know, you pointed out, too, Monday night, short week, whatever. We'll see how it goes. I'm a little surprised by that pick. Rarely am I on a dog when you're on a favorite, but it's been an interesting year. I expect this game to go a little closer to form. We get now to the big three for the season here, which, again, jump on these with both feet, folks. They're due to turn around 5-13. You should be betting like five times what you usually bet on my big three plays the rest of the way here because of the law of averages, if nothing else. We start with the 5-0 Vikings at the 3-2 Eagles, 1 o'clock Eastern time from the link in Philadelphia on Fox. Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews, the makeshift Fox number one team during the World Series here for this game with National League Championship Series / World Series causing their disruption with the announcing teams. This is a game where Minnesota is laying 3 points up from 1.5 initially, stopped at 2.5 for a little bit there. 3 seems to be the present consensus. And I don't know how much we've been able to say this through the course of the year, but road favorite Ricky is back. I am on this one. I love the Vikings in this spot coming off a bye against these fraud Eagles. I said they were frauds earlier in the year here. Did I say fraud? Yes, I did. Fraud with a capital R and the rest of the word capitalized as well. The Vikings making a very good case to be arguably the best team in the league, even with a shite running game that they've had thus far here. I certainly don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think Minnesota, they've had answers for everybody. They're not going to have answers for Carson Wentz that people are already starting to figure out, at least short term. I don't see that at all. Give me the Vikings laying the 3.
It's nice to see we're back to disagreeing a lot on this program. We've been agreeing too much in recent weeks. I'm on the Eagles here. How we have come full circle. Look, I was with you. I thought that the Eagles' 3-0 start was a complete mirage. They have now dropped back-to-back games as favorites. They were actually road favorites in both games. But I just think that the pendulum's kind of swung now too far in the opposite direction. Minnesota. I'm going down. You talk about plant your flag, going down swinging. This team is 18-3 against the number at last 21 games. They're a huge public road favorite. I don't think that has happened really in like Zimmer. Well, I think there's maybe in Chicago. But let me bring it up here. I've got some numbers on the Vikes in this road favorite role. I had jotted them down earlier this week, and of course I'm not prepared for them. Okay, it's actually the fourth time start of last year that Minnesota's been favored on the road. Those games have been one outright loss, one win by 3 points, and then one win where they did not score an offensive touchdown, which was earlier this year against Tennessee. So, I think there's some value on the Eagles, who are not, yes, they're not as good as that 3-0 start, but they're not as bad as I thought they would be at the beginning of the season. Two good defenses, low-scoring game, take the points at home. Last recommendation.
I'll tell you what. That's so weird that you talked about not as good, not as bad, or whatever as people think, because that goes to that's the heart of my next pick that I have here. It's the 3-3 Ravens at the 1-5 Jets, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, MetLife Stadium, East Rutherford on CBS. Past Lounge guest, Ian Eagle, along with Rich Gannon and Evan Washburn on the call. This is a game where the Jets are laying 2.5. It had been a pick initially, and even with the whole slavish Vegas home team gets 3 points built in kind of thing here, this is a borderline why ask why. I was almost on the Jets. I'm going to go to this again, better team getting points. I mean, I realize it's fashionable now for everyone to look at the Ravens. Yeah, they've been sloppy in recent weeks, whatever, but again, sloppiness is something that is not a long-term hallmark of John Harbaugh teams, and it's something that can be overcome as opposed to outright bad play. They were a bubble when they started the season, and I was saying that at the time. Everybody is losing their minds on either overpraising or overbashing the Ravens here. The better team, the Jets can't figure out if their popcorn vendor is going to be the quarterback this week here. Total disarray. I'm on the Ravens.
Yeah, what's going on, though, with Baltimore's quarterback situation here? Because there's an undecided on my screen next to the starting quarterback situation.
Well, Flacco's at it 100%, but I think he's going to go. I mean, that would affect my thoughts, obviously, but I believe he's going to go.
Okay.
As of today.
I want to be with you, but, God, all the money is on the Ravens. That scares the hell out of me. I mean, who the heck wants to touch the Jets? To show how bad they are, even I'm not going on them. I'm just wiping my hands clean of this game. This is an ugly game that I'm staying away from.
Don't blame me. If we go out,
it'll probably be close because every Ravens game is close.
That's right. That's right. Every one of them is. We go to the Monday Nighter here. One of these locks has got to go, right? They're 0-6 so far this year. 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium in this game. It's the 4-2 Texans at the 4-2 Broncos. 8:30 Eastern time from Mile High on ESPN. Monday night, Sean McDonough, John Gruden, Lisa Salters on the call. Denver is laying now 8.5 points, up from 6.5. It stopped at 7 at one point here. This is my Illuminati special here, people. This is one where, again, I can't make any kind of a rational case for the Texans with Brock Osweiler in there, as horrible as he has looked against this Denver defense. I can't make a case for them to stay within 3 touchdowns. But you know what? Suspicious things happen. I'm just going to leave it at that. Suspicious things happen in the league here, things that are not supposed to happen in any rational universe. Illuminati special here, people. I'm on Houston just because theoretically there's no chance whatsoever for them. This is where it goes the other way. Watch Miami-Pittsburgh last week and tell me it doesn't happen.
I'm laying off this game, but, you know, come Monday night, I could see myself taking the Texans because this number looks like it's going to be creeping up all weekend long. So if you are looking to play this game, I would do what Ricky said and go with Houston, but wait till game day to bet it because you're going to probably get the best available number then. Me personally, I'm laying off.
I don't blame you at all. I am on Houston for my lock pick this week, Baltimore and Minnesota, my other big three plays. For you, Kyle, it's two favorites here. It's Jacksonville and Arizona. Additionally, you are on Philadelphia, San Diego, San Francisco, and Pittsburgh. I believe I got all of them, right?
Yes.
All right, so yeah, those plays were, as you indicated, backloaded into the second half of the show here. That's just the way it kind of broke here for this week. But Carol Ross trending upwards here, and as I said earlier, you should already be profitable, people, if you're betting on Kyle's plays, because I gave the alert several weeks ago, time to start betting heavier. So you should be up to like 60%, 65% return on your money, regardless of what the actual number is. But again, Kyle, doing great the last couple of weeks here. Look for that to be the case again. So look forward to catching up with you next week, buddy. This should be an interesting slate of games.
Yeah, and apparently in my house we're already a winner because we just got a $2.01 settlement check from Red Bull, and my wife is very happy. So somebody's winning in this house.
Well, and knowing your wife, she'll make it stretch, no doubt about that. All right, congratulations on that.
That'll pay for dinner 3 weeks from now, probably.
Yes, it will. Lots of ramen. All right, thank you for tuning into the FBH Lounge, everyone.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2,
ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.